Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by KMA Audio Machines, an effects pedal range sporting undoubtedly some of the best looking graphics and best sounding circuits out there. With a heart and soul well rooted in the classic tones of yesteryear, but with a mind firmly fixated on the present and future needs of musicians, KMA are an extremely exciting new brand. Handmade from start to finish and with unwavering passion for perfection, each and every pedal is designed using a custom double-sided PCB, assembled, silkscreened, tested and numbered by hand in their own workshop, all of which guarantees high quality, while the use of a virtually indestructible powder-coated die-cast enclosure ensures maximum durability. KMA Audio Machines truly stand out as one of the most exciting new brands in the business, now available worldwide via Audio Distribution Group, or visit kma-machines.com for more details. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
And Jay Cross.
That's my name.
That is your name. Yes, welcome, esteemed colleagues. We're here for the penultimate episode in series one of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Well, it's the second from last episode of the year before we go fully into Gear of the Year, which I'm very excited about.
Series one. Are we on like, are we like 5 years in?
We've been through this. This is actually the 294th episode, excluding all the Gear of the Years because they don't get episode numbers. This is the 294th episode in series one. You see the way...
So we're finishing it on the 95th.
Yes, that's where we're finishing. 295. It's a nice round digit. Digits.
I like round digits.
Yeah, there you go. So that's there. And I assume we'll have to do the same amount of episodes in season two.
Yeah, if we live that long.
Well, it's a good way of tying you guys into a contract, to be honest. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
there we go.
It's a smart move. It's a smart business move, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we should wait until the next prime number, which I was just trying to figure out.
What's a prime number again? Can be divided by itself.
I think
can only be divided by itself.
Yeah, I think the prime numbers are red, yellow, blue.
Yeah, that's right.
Is green one? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is green a number?
Anyway, so
I found one. 307. 307 is the prime number, so we just got to wait until that.
Okay, fine.
Sorry, it took me a sec. I had to type each number into Google. Yeah. I didn't do the even numbers, obviously, because you know I'm not that much of an idiot.
Exactly. Anyway, so with Gear of the Year kind of round the corner, what we'd normally do every year is we'd all get together over a weekend
and feel all right.
And yeah, exactly. We'd get together and we'd play and we'd play all the equipment that that we've been sent to consider for Gear of the Year, and all kind of talk about it beforehand because you know excitement sort of rubs off on each other, and we'd get
You know, we'd be like, yes, right, we're ready to podcast. But of course, we can't do that this year. So instead, I've been dropping the equipment off to each of you so you can try it out. And Jay, you got a big bunch of stuff that I took round to yours.
I did, yeah. You dropped off a load of stuff whilst I was in the middle of trying to fix my downstairs neighbour's boiler.
Yes,
yes. So registered boiler repairman, Jay
yeah,
Cross.
That's what I am.
It was all very softcore in there.
I was, yeah. No, I was very stressed out when you arrived, and then obviously you arrived, and my stress levels went through the roof. It was a nightmare. But no, you were very understanding of the fact that we were literally able to say about five or six words to each other, and then I ran back downstairs to try and help fix their leaking boiler. But that was fine. Yeah, so you dropped off a load of stuff. There was three guitars that you dropped off. So the Music Man Sabre, the Fidelity.
I give light. You a Stella Rosa light. Yes.
Stella Rosa light, that's it. And nice. Reverend Gristlemaster, is that what that's called?
No, you've got the East Sider T.
East Sider T, yes. And so I plus a load of pedals, which I've got kind of in a... I've built a fort around me.
Pedal
and,
fort.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the pedals and stuff that you dropped off, the one that's really got me going at the moment is the Old Blood Noise Black Cap, which is their new... It was a Black Friday release, is that what you said? That's when they announced it?
Yeah, it was a Black Friday release in 2019, and they did a limited number just for Black Friday. But what they've done this Black Friday is they've done the same thing again, but they've also announced that it will be now, from now on, a current...
Line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was really interesting. So the Black Cap, I think we mentioned it last week or the week before. It's a a double trem. So you've got two trem signals, so one analog and one digital built into the pedal, and you can control them individually, and you can run them in either series or parallel. And I was running them in parallel to begin with because I thought that was going to be what would make the most sense. And it's wicked. It's really good, really interesting. It's almost delay like, but the sound isn't really getting quieter, I guess. It's a really, really interesting pedal. And then I ran it in series, and it's just like utter bonkers, utterly bonkers.
I feel like in series you can get some really synth-esque tones out of that pedal.
Yeah, because there's I guess the waveform is being manipulated so intensely, because you're going from like, well, the way I had it set was quite a slow, deep tremolo into the more spiky, aggressive sounding bonkers tremolo. So it was really, you know, distorting the signal. It wasn't in a distortion way, but it was really manipulating the signal really heavily. And yeah, it's really mad. I mean, I've literally spent about 10 minutes playing it, I thought it was absolutely really, really cool. And I really like the Visitor as well, which is their tremolo chorus phaser pedal. Again, a dual voicing. You can blend in the secondary sound, which again is wicked, and it really does evoke that kind of extraterrestrial ambience, which is what we were talking about last week.
Yes,
that's the kind of record I'm into.
Yeah. extraterrestrial ambience. And so that's really cool. And I've got the Chase Bliss Benson Automatone preamp Mark II in my hand right here. I've got that ready to go, so I will be giving that a play later. Plus a load of other stuff. The MXR FOD, which I'm really excited to play. I really like dual-voiced distortion pedals, so I'm looking forward to trying that. And I spent a few minutes on the Keeley Hydra, which I thought was really cool, really interesting.
That's their tremolo reverb.
Yes, exactly. I tell you what, I don't know if you've seen it, Matty, but there's so many jack inputs and outputs on it. It's crazy. There's six.
Yeah, because when we were talking about it a few weeks ago, we kind of didn't really know what to expect, I think. And then suddenly it's like released. I think they were teasing it, and then it was like released, and we're like, oh, it's got loads on it. Because we thought there's loads of reverb trems out there, but from what I've seen, this looks totally, totally different.
Yeah, and it sounds really cool. It's really, really cool. I mean, I literally went through and played, spent about 5 minutes on each because I wanted to pretend as though I knew exactly what I was talking about during this part of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I think really I'm doing a really good job of, you know, showing off my professionalism here.
I think when it comes down to reverb trem, as long as you can get it to sound like the intro to Twin Peaks, it's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, say so I was playing it into. I wanted to do a bit of AB in. Actually, sorry. Speaking about Twin Peaks for a sec, did you see about the big announcement? Sorry to move away from pedals and everything for a sec. David Lynch has confirmed he's going to be doing a new series.
Brand new
series. Not Twin Peaks. Just a new David Lynch series. It's called Wisteria. And it's going to be on Netflix in 2022. They're going to start filming it next year. So that is hugely exciting. I really thought that Twin Peaks Series 3 was just going to be like basically the end of his kind of like, you know,
he will never die.
And he was just going to go back into doing his paintings and photography and all the stuff he's been doing away from the screen. But yeah, for him to be doing this, that is going to be wicked. And, you know, I can only imagine. Hopefully Bad Lamente is involved again because, you know, the scores that he puts together are just incredible.
Let's get him a Keeley Hydra. Sounds like that's what he needs.
That and an old Blood Noise black cap.
Yeah.
You know, bloody lovely. Three trims. What more could you need?
Did you get much of a chance to mess around with any of the guitars just yet, Jay Cross? Or is that for the gear of the year? I appreciate, I'm grilling you on the equipment I gave you when you haven't really had a chance to get into any of it properly.
That's fine. So I tried the Music Man Saber, and you know, as much as I kind of my well documented opinion on flame topped guitars, I set that to one side and I played it with an open mind, and it's really nice. It's really, really nice. That roasted neck's lovely. The feel of the body is really nice. It sounded fantastic. It really sounded really, really good. And
that's the thing, isn't it? Music Man's are so consistent with the quality of their builds, even when they've made something that maybe isn't quite our cup of tea in as far as looks are concerned.
Yeah.
Certainly it's an incredible playing guitar.
Yeah, totally, totally. And that was the only one that I really plugged in, just because I wanted to play the pedals with the guitar I was more familiar with, so I knew what I was looking for. So I went back to my Strat for that. But yeah,
that's a phrase I'd never thought I'd hear you say, Jay.
What's that, sorry?
That's a phrase I'd never thought I'd hear you say.
Going
back to my Strat.
I know. I don't know what's happened to me in the last couple of years. But, you know, I tell you what, give it another 18 months and I'll be buying a flame-topped Strat, and I'll just be, you know, I'll have to resign from my position of guitar nerds and just, you know, let you guys carry on and with your integrity intact, unlike me.
Yeah.
Now, at the time that I dropped off all that gear, you also lent me some of the brand new Fender pedals that have just come out. And similarly, I haven't had that much of a chance to get stuck into them. But one of the pedals that did pique my interest that I decided to plug in immediately when I got back was the Fender Dual Marine Layer Reverb, which is a triple button reverb pedal. So it's the largest pedal size that Fender do. Except I guess is it the Downtown Express, that bass preamp drive compressor thing, which I think is a four button.
Yeah, that's right.
Jobby.
Yeah.
But this is still the larger box, and I assume I haven't looked at price for it. I'm doing that now.
£200, I think, there or thereabouts.
Oh right, okay, yeah. So it's looks like less than that. I was asking that because I was kind of going to be like, oh, obviously Fender is really good because they're making such kind of affordable pedals, but I expected this one to maybe be like 250, that area, because you did do a £250 pedal, didn't you, of something or other. Was it the delay?
There's the
reflecting pool, which is the delay and reverb, which I think ended up being about 230-240 quid, but
something like that. Yeah,
I expected the dual marine layer to be in the same bank. I think it's quite remarkable that you've managed to keep the cost down so much on it because it is so interesting. So what you've got, listener, is that the pedals were slightly oddly laid out for me, because I was like, oh, well, it's two reverbs, I'll have a button for each of the reverbs, but you don't. You have a master bypass, and then you have a second button that switches between your A and your B channel reverb. The third button's very interesting because the third button is assigned just to a sustain, which is a momentary switch.
And basically what that does is it overrides the decay time that you've got on the delay, on the reverb, so that you can basically make it just last. It kind of like in a freeze type manner, but
it holds it in a sort of a freeze.
Exactly. It's
quite subtle.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a game changer plus pedal style.
No.
Sustain. It's quite subtle, but it's nice. It's nice as a little just for a little je ne sais quoi on the end of bits and pieces.
What's that mean?
I can't say.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, well, I don't know why you brought it up then.
it was really good. I really enjoyed it. The reverbs, I expected, I guess I from a large reverb pedal, I was hoping for more outlandish reverb sounds, because I think there's kind of a conventional range of controls, and then you're switching between three presets. But I wasn't sure if that little preset toggle was just to do with how the sustain worked. I wasn't 100% sure on that. But regardless, I thought it was a really interesting reverb pedal. I'd have maybe liked to have seen two different voicings on the A and the B rather than the same one and then just kind of creating your own settings on it. But I think for a big box, you know, ambient reverb pedal that's going after natural reverb sounds with the addition of that sustain pedal, I think £150 is a pretty remarkable price to be turning them out for. They look really, really good. I was very, very impressed. It was very cool. But I was actually playing it through what turned up today, as I mentioned on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group on facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. The Harmony Juno finally turned up.
It looks very cool. I saw the picture that you put up on the group. It looks very cool.
Absolutely. So the Juno is like a mini bodied, short scale, single cut guitar from Harmony with a pair of their Harmony's own gold foil P90s, which they're so articulate and gorgeous and like wonderful. I was coupling them with my Tweed Blues Junior with a ton of reverb, and they're just like aggressive enough to get on that edge of breakup tone, you know, very nicely. I was a big fan of the way it sounded. I love the fact that it was kind of a small body, but I didn't feel like I was making any sacrifice in tone or, you know, quality of the instrument by having this cool sort of Melody Maker sized instrument. Also, the colour was fantastic. We got it in their metallic rose, which is a gorgeous finish. Lovely kind of polished finish, mahogany, deep mahogany neck. Really lovely. Everything about it was great. Massive sort of oversized, very retro volume control, single volume control. And then again, an oversized pickup toggle, three-way pickup selector. It's like a big sort of heavy weight clunk as you flick through the pickup options, which I thought was super cool. But it's a fantastic, fantastic instrument.
Yeah, it looks, I think it looks cool. It looks like, from some of the pictures on their website, it looks like the body is ridiculously tiny.
Yeah.
almost like, you know, you get an oversized guitar. This is like a purposely undersized guitar. But I think it's nice to see something a little bit different, you know, sort of a bit retro, but with some sort of, you know, kind of modern appointments in terms of its build. Someone looking for something a bit different, I think it's a great little option.
Yeah, I agree. Is someone looking for something that's quirky, but you don't want to buy, you know, there's that sacrifice with so many quirky guitars where you're buying something that's relying entirely on its looks and its appointments are going to be a little bit lackluster. But this is just, everything about this is pro quality and brilliant. And yeah, it's quite the it is small. It's obviously a very small body, but it's made more unusual by the fact that those P90s are quite oversized as well. They're quite wide for P90s, so it makes the body look even smaller. But it's fantastic. I've absolutely loved playing it. I think it's going to do really well in Gear of the Year. Honestly, I was kind of like, nothing can be better than the Fidelity Light that I've played this year. It's such a good guitar. But now I've played the Harmony Juno, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to be arguing with myself.
I think that's the thing. It's going to be difficult because, you know, as you say, in the past, we've all had really strong opinions on stuff because we've just had more access to stuff. You know, we've been like throughout the year, we would have been to a couple of shows. We'd have been down to a couple of guitar shops. We would have spent more time kind of collaborating. And this time round, I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of the time we're just going to be deferring to your opinion on stuff. It's just going to be, it's terrible. We're going to be letting Joe run the show. You know, he's going to be like, as well as he's going to be writing the theme tune, he's going to be singing the theme tune, he's going to be doing it all.
I've got to write a new theme tune.
Oh, yeah, I need to do that for season two.
Well, no, for the Gear of the Year.
And for season two.
I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be wonderful. Now, Matt, you actually also got hold of something that we'll be considering as well, a new release for this year, but also something that we're going to be covering on a future Friday special episode.
Yes, we spoke about it a few months ago, and after talking to him very nicely, the chap behind Rajani Amps, I think is the correct pronunciation, finally sent us his, I think it's VOD50. I'm just going to double check that I definitely got that right, because I kind of feel like I might have said that before and it was definitely wrong. No, that's right. VOD 50, Valve Overdrive 50 watts, which is the only product he makes at the moment. But I've got to say, it's a bit of a game changer.
He does several versions of it though, right? He does it in like head and combo.
Yeah,
so
he does a head and a combo, but basically the same internal guts apart from the speaker. So he sent me the combo. And I was kind of just a bit blown away. The thing that really struck me was, well, two things. One, the EQ. So the EQ is not like a traditional tone circuit that you might find on maybe like a Fender or a Marshall. You've got bass and treble, but they give you a boost or cut of 13 dB in either direction. So it's more like an active circuit. It's based on the Baxandall circuit. So, you know, Orange had the Bax Banjitar preamp. So it's a similar circuit to that. And it's cutting and boosting specific frequencies that he selected. So the bright doesn't get too spiky, which I think is quite nice. But the thing that really wowed me, I've got to say, possibly the best sounding spring reverb I've ever heard in an amplifier. So it's a real all analog long tank spring reverb. And I was saying to him, I was like, what is different to this compared to other amps? And he's designed a completely unique circuit to drive and control the reverb, so it sounds way more like a big splashy tank, but without being like totally over the top. So it sits in the mix of the amp really, really well.
Oh, interesting.
So super simple control panel. It's basically clean, and then you've got a drive channel, which is drive and level, bass treble, which is active, reverb and volume. So what I was doing was opening the master, opening the main volume all the way up for maximum headroom, and then using the clean to kind of dial in where you want the overall volume to be. But there's a fixed 6 dB boost, which I think sits just before the preamp. So it drives the preamp just a little bit, and I just got the best kind of edge of breakup sort of clean tone. And I was just like, this thing's great. As a pedal platform, really, really good. Absolutely loud enough to gig with. And I don't normally go for two-channel amps, but I've got to say, the second channel on this was really, like, right up, especially after trying the Marshall Governor and that kind of Marshall in a box and that quite tight sort of gain structure. It sort of really reminded me of that. I was like, this is, yeah, really, really well designed, and a crazy price, $11.95 on his web shop at the moment.
For the combo or for the head?
For the combo.
Wow, that's good.
And what's the combo coming? Just, is it a single 12?
He actually, because all of them are made by him in the UK, so obviously it's the same head unit, just in different boxes, he can do a variety of different Tolexes and a variety of different combinations, 212, 410, 115, etc.
410, now we're talking.
Oh,
115, yeah.
410
now we're talking.
In the... No, Joe. Come on, let's be realistic here. 410 with that big spring. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So I tested it through a couple of So it comes with a Jensen Tornado 100, so which they say is quite firm in the bass end with a chimey treble, and that's the one that he chose because he thinks it suits his circuit. I tried it through Celestian Redback. I thought it sounded very, very good. Gave it a little bit more bottom end. But as soon as I ran it in kind of stereo or wet dry with the Morgan, I was like, this is the clean amp pedal platform I have been searching for. It pairs so well with that sort of that Morgan. But it's definitely got a sound of its own, which I really like. It doesn't just sound like they've taken a Fender circuit and just gone, oh, we'll just do that, or we've taken a Marshall circuit, we'll just do that. It really feels like he's, because he understands engineering and obviously a bit of amp building, he's managed to make the tweaks that he wants to make to an amplifier to make something its own thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm super, super impressed. And it's actually incredibly lightweight, which also was, because it's chunky, it's not massive. It's probably a bit taller than a Hot Rod Deluxe. So I expected it to be much heavier than it actually was, but all in all, a well-balanced amplifier, I would say.
Yeah, the VOD 50.
So yeah, really looking forward to diving in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe, you say VOD 50?
Yeah, yeah. I was rounding it up. The VOD 50, it looks like an absolutely cracking amp. Dear listener, you should check it out at rajaniamps.com. But something that I think me and Matt are really looking forward to doing the Friday special episode on as well, because it is an absolutely cracking looking amplifier.
He has a PhD in mathematics, so could always put some sort of seriously hard math questions in it, just to see how he responds.
Yes, that is a great idea, but we should try something like that. Moving on. It's been quite a busy couple of weeks for you, Matt Knight. I feel like Boss have had an awful lot of products all of a sudden land, and there've been some really unusual ones, unusual developments, unusual, sort of concepts going on, definitely sort of off the beaten path.
The sound you are hearing is the KMA Audio Machine Cirrus Spatial Temporal Modifier, a vastly expansive modulated delay and reverb pedal, KMA's first foray into digital effects, The Cirrus is a wonderfully expressive soundscape tool. Multiple and extensive independent modulation features give you access to a huge range of really cutting-edge tones, with a versatile expression pedal input for increased tone shaping. Floating above your head, delicate and elusive yet dreamy and sweeping, always in motion until it dissolves and merges with an immersive atmosphere around it. Just close your eyes and let the KMA Audio Machine Cirrus Delay and Reverb carry you across the open sky onto its sonic cloudscape. KMA Audio Machines truly stand out as one of the most exciting new brands in the business, now available worldwide via Audio Distribution Group, or check them out and buy online at kma-machines.com. This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Engel and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
Yes, two actually major announcements. As this podcast comes out, after 4 long weeks of waiting, can finally announce what the next Wowza pedal is. And because lots of people guessed wrong, we also announced another Wowza pedal. we'll talk about the one that we've been teasing for a few weeks, which I'm sure by the time people are listening to this, the internet is hopefully on fire with this news, because I think this is an incredible project. So we are announcing the TB2W Wowza Craft Tone Bender.
Absolutely outstanding.
So basically, Boss and Solar Sound unite to reimagine the iconic Solar Sound Tone Bender Mark II from the 1960s.
So this is the first time you guys have done a collaboration since the Angry Charlie.
Yes. And actually, this project...
Angry Driver.
Sorry. Which has got the Angry Charlie in it. This project technically kick-started at that House of Vans event. So we took Yoshi Kagami and some of the engineers to Denmark Street, and that's where he met Ant Macari. Ant tells a fantastic story, and there's some videos coming up later in the week, so I won't give away any of the story, but there's a whole bunch of just cool stuff that's been happening, and every time they've come over, we've gone to meet them. And, there was a point when we were like, well, Yoshi was like, we're not sure if it's possible, you know, because Ant was saying there's only like 8 components in a tone bender, but they're all so specific and so carefully selected and built for that sound, that really, really iconic sound. And, to do it in a more mass-produced way, as it were, although this one will be limited, but, and to do it analog and to do it with real germanium transistors and do it the same, you know, was a huge challenge for Boss, because we've not done anything like that for quite some time.
It seems that it's a totally different way of approaching stuff.
Yeah,
I guess so, that sort of the hand-built small quantities of pedals to Boss, who are used to, obviously, you know, large production effects.
Yeah, so so Ant Makari and Yoshi, Ant's an amazing guy, and obviously he's got like an insane collection of tone benders. He's been buying loads back, and I think he's trying to get one of the first ones ever made. It was built in a wooden box and given away in like NME and stuff like that. It's all this crazy stuff. So obviously he's got a crazy selection of tone benders to pick from, and he played a bunch, picked the best one and sent it to Boss, and that's what they modeled or built the TB2W on. So they called it the masterpiece of the Tonebender Mark II series from Ant's personal collection, serial number 500, which was the benchmark reference, basically. And then it basically features rare germanium transistors carefully selected for optimum tone, a three-way voltage selector, which I think is incredible. So you can have three different types of voltage, selectable true or buffered bypass, which again is another real first for a true analog fuzz pedal, and a refined circuit for ultra consistent performance from pedal to pedal. Obviously, you know, fuzz pedals can vary quite a lot depending on the transistors, and we've tried to make them as consistent as possible.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So we're going to announce more information, including price and stuff like that, in the beginning of Q2, so sort of March time, 2021. But super, super excited to finally see this out there. And it's a great story. There's some great videos coming out. I've yet to hold one in my hands, but I've heard it. And it sounds amazing. I think it looks amazing. It looks unlike a lot of other Boss pedals.
Because you've just gone for the sort of mottled chrome chassis.
Well, yeah,
right?
The other fuzz pedals we've done are in a similar grey silver, you know, FZ5, FZ3, FZ2. But this is more like that, almost that, like, it looks a bit more like those early tone benders with like the Hammerite finish.
Yeah.
And obviously only two controls with the chicken head knobs as well.
It's the same as
the tone bender. Very just cool. Looks very, very cool.
That, I think those chicken head knobs have really kind of thrown people. You know, with those pictures that you've put up.
Yeah, yeah. So, and obviously we put the transistors up and everyone's like, oh, you know, it's going to be a fuzz. So I think a lot of people know it's a fuzz, or, you know, knew it was a fuzz, but I don't think anyone was expecting a tone bender. Yeah, because I showed it to a friend of mine who does a few bits in the guitar world, and he was like, well, you're not going to call it tone bender, are you? And I'm like, yeah, it's an official tone bender. And in the video that's coming out, I think there's a really good line that's like, unless it's got solar sound on it, it's not a tone bender. And you know, ours on the bottom has, you know, TB2W Solar Sound London on it, which I think is just such an incredible stamp. And just, you know, so proud to be part of the company that's making it. So on Wednesday, so if you're listening to this on Tuesday, one of the Patreons, on Wednesday I'm doing a talk with Boss, with Yoshi, and he's going to dive into a bit more of the detail as well.
Was the Angry Driver a Wazacraft pedal?
No, standard production, which we still make. Right. So this one will be handmade in Japan.
So this is what, is that why it becomes a Wazacraft pedal? Because it's handmade in Japan?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, there's a few other tweaks to Waz's, you know, like BD2, W versus BD2 or SD1. Mm. But Waz pedals just, are made in Japan.
It's quite a different thing for you guys to bring into the Wazacraft pedal range. It's certainly all the other Wazacraft stuff so far seems to have been largely reimagining vintage Boss pedals, whereas this is reimagining a vintage pedal that's not Boss.
Yeah, I think it's an incredible project. I don't think anyone's really going to see it coming. So, and that's the funny thing. So it sort of leads on to the next thing, which was even a surprise for some of the people within the company. But obviously a lot of people, as soon as we put the first teaser images up, the first comment, of course, is HM2W. You know, everyone wants the heavy metal, the kind of cult Swedish chainsaw pedal. There's over the last 10 years, there's been a couple of petitions to like bring it back. And then one gained quite a lot of traction a couple of months ago. And Yoshi announced last week to us that we're gonna remake it. We're gonna Wazify the HM2, and for the first time ever, following on from first, we're gonna make this a collaboratively designed product with the people that so desperately wanted to see it come back. So all the people that are in the petition, this is their chance to jump on a Facebook group we set up and tell them, you know, what they would do to the Waza. What they would do for HM2 Waza. So it's a funny one, because HM2 has slowly and more and more increased in price. Some are going, you know, mint condition ones with box, which I have, are going for like $300. And it's a weird one, because it was, bizarrely enough, it was the fourth ever Boss distortion pedal. It came out in 1983. So you think,
so
Boss,
what was, so what, SD1, OD, DS1, DS2?
OD1.
When was the Metal Zone then?
No, OD1, DS1, SD1, HM2.
All right, okay.
Wow.
1983. So yeah, 6 years into Boss being a company. And Yoshi said something really interesting, which is quite cool, because it's actually quite low gain in some ways. It's basically an OD1 circuit with a different clipping diode on it. And the tone control is really interesting. Actually, it's called Color, and then it's got a high and a low, and it controls multiple frequencies at once that they've kind of dialed in. But it was really aimed at that sort of rise of, I guess, that kind of first wave of heavy metal in the early 80s. And it stayed a consistent seller until 1991, which then got replaced by the Metal Zone.
Oh, the Metal Zone's a replacement of the... Mm-hmm. Of the,
yeah,
HD,
yeah.
I did not know that.
They basically, yeah, just about crossed over. But it became iconic because... bizarrely enough, even though people like David Gilmour used the HM2, it became famous because of a band called Entombed, and they used it on a record called Left Hand Path. They're a Swedish death metal band from Gothenburg, and yeah, their sound was effectively a cranked HM2, so all the knobs to maximum into, I think, a PV or like a Marshall MG or something. And just this gnarly, what became known as the Swedish chainsaw. And it's just gained a consistent and cult following ever since. And what's amazing is I didn't realize how many companies have taken their own theme of HM2 and done something similar. So I think it's amazing that we're going to be doing a Waza version of that, all made in Japan. So yeah, next year we've got two Waza pedals coming, which I think is amazing.
That is exciting. This is a year for. Are there any? I can't think of what else I want in the Wurzel range now. I kind of feel like I've got all the things I really wanted. RE2W? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
That's the one, isn't it?
No, RE201W.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so Wurzel tape echo.
That's the dream. Yeah,
that is the dream. I'll make it myself.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sure it can't be that hard.
Isn't it just, you just chop one of the RE20s in half?
I thought you should get a Walkman, don't you? Just no, you get a cassette. What was it called? What was that thing called? Cassette? I want to say...
Creative Zen?
What was that? Yeah, it was like Cassette Boy, Tape Boy from Home Alone. Just one of them.
Yeah, I can't remember.
You used to get those pens.
Talk Boy. Talk Boy.
Yes. Just get a Talk Boy. No? Just record onto that. Loop that. I have seen a lot of people. I followed a couple of YouTubers this weekend of people that are really into live four-track cassette looping and ambient performances. So they've just got like a massive just box full of like ambient four-track cassettes. And then they're just like mixing it all live. I'm just like,
oh yeah.
That's why Tascam cassette four-track cassette recorders are insanely expensive now. A totally defunct technology that no one wanted is now suddenly they're like £400 or £500.
Do you remember that Tascam? It's been a few years since we talked about this, but do you remember that Tascam guitar combo that had a CD player built in?
CDGT1?
Yeah.
Oh man, we used to sell loads of those.
Didn't it have, wasn't the speaker configuration like 6 4-inch speakers or something like that?
Did it even have a speaker in it? Was there an amp that had it? There was an amp that had one on it.
Yeah, there's a combo. There's.
But then there was a standalone unit that just you plugged headphones in.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. No, yeah. I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of the guitar amplifier that Tascam made.
There was a Tascam CDGT... one, and then a CDGT2, and then I think they ended up bringing out an MP3 version, but I think by that point they'd lost the entire market by that point. But yeah,
Tascam have been responsible for some great stuff. Do you remember the Gibson in Tascam Orange, the ES-33?
I do remember that.
Came with Cakewalk. Yeah,
no, it came with a cable as well. It came with a Tascam recorder cable. Do you not remember? It had a recorder built into the cable.
That's exactly what you want. Well, Gibson did that, didn't they? They did the looper cable for a while.
Well, I think that's what it was. I think it was Tascam cable. Yeah, there was like a... Maybe it was a Gibson collaboration thing. But yeah, they definitely had like a recorder cable. Reminds me of the wiretap from Line 6. Do you remember that was
did
like
that
a...
Did that do the same thing?
Yeah, well, it was basically in line with your guitar. It was just a recorder. You couldn't loop. You just put it at the end of your signal chain and then you press the button, just recorded.
I remember that. I want more things built into other cables. Things. Yeah, and I want more cable built in things. Like, do you remember when we discovered that Proco do the Proco Rat
in the cable?
The rat tail.
Was it the rat tail? I feel like it was the rat tail.
I feel like if I was going to put a Proco Rat into a cable, I would call it a rat tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. The Gibson looper in a cable.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I've just found it. The Gibson memory cable. It was a handheld recorder in a guitar cable. So Gibson and Tascam came out in 2014. I'm guessing... total failure. It was $99 at the time.
That's okay. That's, you know, you can't put a price on perfection.
And, that's true.
I was going to say, the thing with this recorder cable is, you know, I'm just going to plug into my pedal board. Oh, man, I've got these insane riffs. I've got my memory man going into my space echo, and oh, it's amazing. Oh, wait, the recorder's at the beginning of the cable. Because obviously it's guitar, straight into the little recording module so you can hit record, then into your pedal board. So all you're going to record is a totally dry guitar sound.
You know, but if you're using it live to loop in parts, then that's fine. That's the right place.
I'm sure no one did that.
No.
But maybe there's a new market for it. Maybe that's...
I think so. I think products built into cables is the way to go. That's what I want. More effects built into cables, maybe an amplifier, you know. something.
Amplifier cable.
Yeah, why not? The entire cable is the air. Yeah, like some sort of speaker that can be flexible and built into a cable. Yeah, I'd be interested to see that happen. Anyway, you know, last year we did like every year we do a listener's choice in our Gear of the Year podcast series.
Yeah.
And last year I think it was kind of an easy one, like some products that we expected all got into the final listener's poll for them to choose. And I can't remember without it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they selected the Wazza headphones. And there was like the orange Terra pedal did really well. Like, you know, it was like there were a few releases last year that was like, yes, this is going to appear. Now, what I do with the listener's choice is on the Facebook group, I first of all ask people for, you know, to comment saying things, and then I'll go through it and I'll pick out the five products or, you know, or maybe more products that have been mentioned the most. But this year, just again, because it's such a disjointed year, even though it's only just, you know, I've only recently posted this out, so we're early doors yet, but barely anything's getting more than one mention in that everyone's got a different product.
Oh, right. Wow.
That they think is Gear of the Year. So it's going to be an interesting one for that. But one of the products that's coming up the most at the moment is the Two Notes Captor X, which I'm not entirely surprised by. A fantastic product. Comes with, you know, a perfect way for you to be able to utilize your valve heads at home. And then the Two Notes software package that, you know, allows you access to the cab sims and their own reverb unit, their sort of real room reverb thing, is very good. And it's very affordable in comparison to, you know, the other sort of major players doing that sort of thing. So I'm not surprised to see that come up there most. Another one that's coming up, Helix 3.0, the new update that's just come out.
Is that
for Helix.
Is that a product? I guess,
well,
it is.
I guess it can go into the accessory lineup of things, you know. I guess, as it's a software update, that's certainly where we'll be putting Neural DSP's archetype Corey Wong, which is also been voted for and had a couple of up votes.
I think we're going to need to come up with a different name rather than just accessories if we're talking about software and stuff. Maybe because we did in the past best other thing, didn't we?
Yeah,
and
maybe,
you know,
we'll
I don't really like accessories being relegated to other things. If you insist on adding other things to the accessories category, then I feel like it needs to, maybe accessories and other is what the category should be.
Yes, yeah, I like that.
As of, you know.
One of the hardest things, I think, for this year that we're going to come up against is that whilst less things have been released this year, the companies that have done the releasing seem to have done a lot of releasing. Like, we expect Fender and Boss to release a lot of products each year, but this year both companies feel like they've... There's an awful lot of stuff to choose from.
I've been busy. Well, yeah. Not me, the entire company.
But even, you know, even when we look at the smaller companies, Origin FX have released both the Revival Trem and the Magma 57. And of course, we do have the policy of only one brand, one product from a brand moving.
I thought you were going to say only one brand going through. I'm like, well, it's easy.
But yeah, I mean, that in itself is going to be a tough choice. Matt, you've got the Magma 57 on its way to you, but the Revival Trem's been a massive hit for you year.
Yeah, I'm going to fight hard for that, absolutely. But it's a tough one because, yeah, they're two really good products. So it's just like I'm going to have to pick the best of those two.
Yeah,
is that even possible? Maybe I want both on my pedal board. Then what?
Yeah, you're going to be in trouble. Yeah, a product that I was very upset to discover didn't come out this year was the KMA Audio Machine Cirrus. I think it came out last year. I do need to double check that because I've only been told that by someone, so I need to check. Because that's been my favourite, like, ambient weird pedal to come out
this year. I asked for
that.
You didn't send it to me.
Oh, did you ask for it?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
I mean, frankly, I just thank you for the apology.
Well, actually, the one that we've got was actually for me from KMA Audio Machines, and it has this lovely thing on the back. You know, where it says sort of the serial number and stuff. It says Cirrus Spatial Temporal Modifier, a Joe Special Edition from one nerd to another nerd.
That's what it says.
on the back of my pedal.
So if it's the Joe Branton Special Edition, what does that mean? is it like there's no clean? You can't. They've removed the dry signal. They've removed the dry signal path from the pedal, so it's just on constantly.
Do you think that's enough, actually, technically, as this one is a Joe Special Edition? Even if there's no differences internally, it does mean it came out in 2020.
I think you're really stretching.
I'm really reaching there.
I'm not sure. But they've brought out loads of other pedals, haven't they, KMA?
Yeah, oh, yes, KMA have absolutely got a chunk of stuff. KMA, I think, are going to feature a fair bit in the Gear of the Year this year. It's just the Cirrus, for me, has just been such an absolutely incredible unit that I've been a big fan of. I think the Logan came out this year, which I think is what we'll be potentially talking about, which is their really mid-pushed drive, which also allows you to run an expression out on the mids so that you can kind of sweep it like a wah, which is quite cool. I'm going to be looking forward to that. Now let's talk about some other things that have come out this week, some things that have landed. Should we start with this Carstens amplification unit, which I've never heard of the brand Carstens. This was the first time I'd kind of seen them, seen anything from them. And I a lot of the time when you see these really sort of custom shop amplifier companies come out with new amps, and I'm almost like I almost put them to one side, because I'm like, well, if it's a US company, I'm not going to be able to get one to try out, and it will probably be made in such a small quantity that it just ends up not being of interest to me. Now, whilst this is an extremely limited handmade run of only 50 amps, Carsten Amps have in fact made a Billy Corgan collaboration. This is the Grace amplifier. What a time to be bringing out a 100 watt head unit.
Yeah. To your point, Joe, about the Carsten Amps and never hearing of them, nor have I. But I just thought, before quickly we talk about it, I just went on their website and just clicked the about page. So Carsten amplifiers have been enjoyed by such artists as Joe Walsh, Billy Corgan. They've put Billy Corgan, the Smashing Pumpkins. I think that's a bit of a cheat. Same person. Mike McCready, Brad Paisley, Jeff Tweedy, James Bay, Brian Fallon. He used to be the amp tech for many years at Chicago Music Exchange. So he's basically been building and designing amps for a number of years. And every amplifier is handmade by the man himself.
Wow.
I think it's very, very cool. They look really unique, I think.
Really unusual. From the soft corners.
Yeah, it sort of looks like a fancy, because of the angle and the distance they've taken effect, it sort of looks like something you put on your kind of fireplace as a Bluetooth speaker.
It's definitely got a sort of retro come modern look to it, because when you see the cab makes it look incredibly retro, I think, because it almost ends up with that TV style grill. The head unit on its own looks very modern.
Yes, and they've got three fancy colours, black, red and white. I've got to say, the red looks amazing. So you can pre-order now, like you said, 50 pieces, just shy of £3,000. Basically, it was what they're saying here, that I think Billy had bought one and they've been discussing an amp collaboration for years. And then he had a specific request. As we know, Billy Corgan is a tone chaser to the extreme. And I think they've been co-designing this thing, and it ended up being a Billy Corgan signature. Why they've done it in a limited edition, I don't know. I guess for all hand built by one person, 50 pieces is probably quite a lot. But effectively,
well, also I think Joe does make a good point in that, you know, who need, there's not that many people out there at the moment who are looking to buy 100 watt amps, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's probably part of it.
Yeah. But a handmade, hand-wired, 100-watt single-channel amplifiers with a staggering amount of articulate high gain. So it's designed for the gainy amongst people. I think it looks great. I think it sounds like the chap who makes them might be a really interesting person to speak to. We should try and get him on the podcast next year. Joe.
Yeah, we should. Let's get him on a Friday special.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a lot of history in building stuff. So, and I think from his time, he's saying here from his time at Chicago Music Exchange, is, you know, he's been through a lot of amazing gear. So it's chance for him to impart a bit of what he's learned and what he's tried into amplifiers.
Yeah.
Have you seen this other amp that they do? I mean, caught my eye immediately because of the name, the Black Flag, which is a they're 1x12. Looks really, really nice. It's 22 watts. Really cool kind of like retro, like, you know, the picture of the of the cab that you can see on the press release for this, for the Billy Corgan head. It's got the combo has that kind of aesthetics, really nice, like kind of future retro. Really, really lovely looking design on it. And this looks really cool, really interesting. I'd be really, really keen to hear more about this company. They seem very cool.
I was drawn to the one called the Warm Machine.
What's that?
It's I think it's a similar thing. I mean, single channel 50 watt sort of clean, glassy, British inspired amp head. It looks great. I think they just look really good. More than anything, I think they just look wicked. Plus it's called the Warm Machine. So instantly I was like, oh, is it something related to Brian Eno? It is not, but yeah, and he also does vintage amp repair, so I'm guessing he sort of knows his way around an amp or two. But definitely one. I think maybe we should talk to him more. Sounds like he might be someone that we should know.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Now another release that has come out just in time for Gear of the Year is Hampstead Soundworks have expanded their pedal lineup. Once more, again, you know, a brand that make absolutely fantastic amplifiers, and that really is kind of their core and their bread and butter. But they've released the Zenith, which they're calling the Ultimate Tone Shaper, which is bang up our street because this is essentially a make gooderer, and it's a pedal that I think a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, we were asked the question, what makes the Ultimate make gooderer? You know, is it an EQ? Is it a boost? Is it a compressor? And the Zenith is all three of those things in one, with a three-band EQ, a separate compression, a blend, and a 20 decibel boost as well, all built into one, all with secret switching so that you can control the compression and the EQ independently if you're using something like an ESA or gig rig, which is very, very cool. And
sorry, you need to say that again. Secret switching.
Secret switching. That's what they're calling it. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So they use a foot switch called the OptoKick foot switch, which comes from Gig Rig. It's a really high quality silent switch. But what they've done is, because as Joe said, you've got EQ. You've basically got the two main things are compression and EQ. And I saw this briefly at NAMM. So obviously, if you click the switch, you can have both come on and then both turn off. Or you can have the compression stay always on, and then when you click the switch, it'll switch the EQ in. Or you can have it the other way around. But I believe by holding the switch, it can then like flip-flop between the two. So from one foot switch, you get multiple control over the same pedal. So basically, secret switching allows standard, which is both on, both off, flip-flop, which means every time you press it, it goes between one or the other, compression always on, EQ always on, or you can have it cycle. So comp on, EQ on, bypass, comp on, EQ on.
I get it. That's really interesting. So when it's flip-flop, you've always got one or the other on.
And yes. You can, yeah, you never turn it off. The pedal's
you never turn it
on.
Off. Yeah, you've always got you've got one or the other on. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, and then that's really interesting. And so yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, secret switching. I love it. That sounds fantastic. This is Joe. Don't worry about Gear of the Year. This has sorted it for me. And actually, I don't even care about the pedal. What I care about is the technology involved in the secret switching. That sounds fantastic. Let's just let's call it a day, should we, lads?
Yep. Oh, that's
I guess
it.
So.
That's
yeah.
Done.
Saves time.
And I believe, yeah, if you use a gig rig or an ES8, I think you can do all of that remotely as well. So obviously, you've got that in the loop switcher.
What does that mean? Are you using a TRS cable? Like, was it TRS in?
Yes, I believe so.
Or is it just? Yeah, no, I guess it would just be normal.
No,
I guess it depends on whether it's the switch itself that's doing that, or whether when you hold down the. That's really interesting. Like to know.
It must be, I'm pretty sure it doesn't actually say in the manual, but yeah, control input is used with an external switching device such as a gig rig. So when a control signal is sent, it overrides the foot switch and then can be used to switch the compression and EQs independently. I'd imagine it's probably TRS, and then, yeah, you can set those in.
So TRS to twin mono.
Yes, and I'm guessing it'll be TRS because you'll come out of like the control out of the switcher system. So,
okay.
I don't know whether it runs in series or in parallel. I can't find it anywhere. I'm guessing. I just wondered if the EQ ran into. Oh, you can change the order. Forget it. You can change the order. You can run compression into EQ or EQ into compression, but they run in. You can run compression into EQ, EQ into compressor, or you can run them in parallel, which means they're both on together, but they don't. The two shall not meet. And you can run anywhere between 9 and 18 volts. This could be the ultimate make gooder.
This could be the ultimate make gooder. What an absolutely fantastic pedal from Hampstead Soundworks. I'm very much looking forward to trying one out ahead of Gear of the Year.
Have you got
it's
one, Joe?
Fantastic. Not yet, but we will have one very shortly.
Yeah, I remember seeing this at NAMM now, and I know they've obviously not mentioned it much since then, but this looks like the ultimate make gooder. I'm excited. I'm very excited.
It looks very, very good indeed. Now, we are drawing to a close of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Unfortunately, at the start of the episode, once again, I forgot to introduce the new patrons.
Joe.
So I'm gonna have to do it now. Thank you very much to Morgan Hill and to James Dorr, who's joined us at the $10 tier, and also to Kaiotopia, the band, who join us at the $10 tier.
Legends.
Yes.
Every
absolutely.
One of you. From $1
now, to $10. Yes. All of them are fantastic. Now, of course, Kaiotopia happen to be the band that have friend of the podcast, Chris, who shared with us his vintage MXR pedal collection the other day. So
it was really interesting. He followed really up good. On the followed up on the group about that, and I had no idea that. MXR basically ceased being a company for a while and then were brought back. And then, really, really interesting.
Yeah, so, they're not a brand that I think we've delved into the history of actually much on the podcast at all. In favor of talking almost exclusively about Dan Electro pedals for the last 5 years. So, thank you very much, all new patrons, and welcome aboard. Now, of course, if you want to listen to more of this Guitar Nerdery, we're going to be heading over to our Patreon, patreon.com/guitarnerds. where we'll be continuing. So you can join us at any of the tiers, the $1, the $5, or the $10 tier. At the $1 tier, you'll get this episode ad-free and early. At the $5 tier, you get access to all our Patreon specials and our entire back catalog. And at the $10 tier, you get all of those things. Plus, I'll sing your name in a song at the end of this podcast. Join us on all the social medias with @GuitarNerds. And join the discussion on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
This is the second from last Patreon song of the year. My goodness. Yes. Paul Drew and Russell Healy, Kristen Abbott, Ty Allen, and Yogi, the guitarist. Simon's Ridge, Creswell, Joe Hubbard, Sean Hughes, and Michael Lowe, and Brian Hansen, and Shane M, Jeffrey Watts, and Eric Hammer, Samuel Frost, Brian Ansel, Gavin Vander, Lindy, Jacob McGee, Andy Maddy, Scott Hunting, and Lauren Butterworth.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.